All right, sewing up a guest there, very last minute. Got somebody coming on at 3:05 to talk about a very important gathering tomorrow. Woo! Was just sending an email back from, I think Marty covered this to start his show today, from our lowrider chairs. Might want to play that war song. I guess this is what we got moving forward, these lowrider chairs. Is what it is. Listen for the drive at 5. Stories driving the news every single day at 5. It's all brought to you by Service Master Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. So much to get into. What I was sewing up for 5 o'clock is, or excuse me, for 3 o'clock is this. There is a big gathering tomorrow about mental health involving some very important judges and people like that, and what they're trying to do is get the recidivism rate and everything down. And I want to go over how that's going to impact perhaps the public. So we will dive into that coming up in an hour from now, combating and growing the mental health behavioral crisis. So we'll talk to a very important state judge coming up at about 3:05 today. All right, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. So much to get into. Before all of that, how about this story from Tamira Rush?
The Trump administration has agreed to resume student loan forgiveness under two key income-driven repayment plans, a major reversal after pausing the program earlier this year. The decision comes as part of a legal settlement with the American Federation of Teachers, which sued the administration for blocking debt relief promised in original loan terms. Borrowers on the income contingent and pay-as-you-earn plans can now again qualify for cancellation, but both plans will be phased out by July 2028 under Trump's proposed loan overhaul. The deal also ensures borrowers won't face federal taxes on forgiven debt in 2025, even after a current tax exemption law expires this year. Tamira Rush, News Radio, KDKA.
Here we are, 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. A very simple question for you. Yep, one that is very simple. When you hear student loan forgiveness, before you dive into the nuances, the particulars, the odds and ends of all of this, what do you think? It feels like when you hear the words student loan forgiveness, or I recite them, or you read them, or you hear them in another news story, two teams form. And it's sometimes, actually more than not, based on generational things. And it's this. The younger people say, yeah, I'm all for it. Bring on student loan forgiveness. And again, before diving into any nuances, any particulars, any of the nuts and bolts of this, the younger people say, student loan forgiveness? Give it to me. Man, nobody told me that my loan with this interest rate was going to be something that was going to mire me in debt for years and years and years and years. And I'm just trying to get an education. I'm trying to live the American dream. I need to get that education in order to get that experience, in order to get that job that I really want. And so that's one thing. Then when you look at it with the older sect, right? The people who are my age maybe, and especially a little bit older, there's a pretty hard line. And they subscribe to, for the most part, listen. You borrowed it, you pay it back. That's what has to happen. No ifs, no ands, no buts. That's the way that it works. You're not getting one red cent from me to help you out, nor should you. So when I say it, student loan forgiveness, which side do you fall on? Or has a third lane sort of formed here in all of this? That's the discussion to start the show today at 866-391-1020. Were you previously a hardliner? Not one dime from me. But now you see the plight. Now you see where some kids, so to speak, are. And now you see the state of the economy, or perhaps the state of student loans, or maybe do understand yeah, it could be nice to give them a bit of a break because, well, maybe they just didn't know what they were getting into. Has that third lane formed where you can compromise some? Or have you stayed true to what you thought it's always been? You borrowed it, you pay it back in full, plus the interest. You know, I'm kind of in a third lane a little bit. If you're showing in good faith and in good conscience to pay back on that premium, right? And you're paying and making at least a decent-sized minimum payment, I can understand and I'll listen to you. But if you're somebody who's blowing it all the way off and thinking, well, somebody's just going to pay for my college for me. It's not a scholarship. It's a loan. So in all of that, you do have to get into the nuances. This is something that I have found, though. There are a lot of people who will have a non-starter when having this conversation. And again, a lot of it's based on age. You approach a lot of people with those words, student loan forgiveness. And they'll tell you, I know what the definition of a loan is. A loan is you pay it back. I don't want to hear any of this nonsense, not one bit. But now, when the Trump administration says it's canceling student debt for millions of borrowers, and that's a pivot from its previous moves to block some loan forgiveness plans, that may get some people who are hardliners, some people who are old school people, some people who never thought that they'd think this way, that might get them to change a little bit. Now, it's an agreement also with the American Federation of Teachers. And the White House will again start processing these student loan forgiveness payments for eligible borrowers in these two income-driven repayment plans. So, they've got over 2.5 million enrollees total, and those are in those two plans. Now, it's contingent on a lot of different things. President Trump's big, beautiful bill is slated to phase out those two programs by July 1st, 2028. So you better get to getting if you want to get your student loan forgiven some. Now, the agreement, and borrowers who become eligible for student loan forgiveness this year will not owe federal taxes on that relief. That's what the Trump administration said. I think that could be at odds with some people. Where I come down on this is, again, I'm a convert. I was hardcore up until a little while ago. You borrowed it, you pay it back in full. You understood the document when you signed on the dotted line. You knew pretty much what you were getting into. Now I understand it's going to do us no good if we keep miring young people in debt. We're 100% never going to advance as a society unless we offer that. And there has to be a drop-off date. If you're going to implement such a program, it has to start some date. So you're going to always have someone mad. Someone who said, well, I paid mine back in full. Well, yep, there's got to be a date to start. Now, again, I'm not for full charity. I'm just for helping people out some. Let's talk next. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. NASCO Roofing Instant Access. All our shows, just click away. Email us. InstantAccessKDKRadio.com. All right, listen for that drive at 5. Stories driving the news every single day at 5. It's all brought to you by ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Top of the hour, Supreme Court Justice Kevin Daugherty. There's a big summit in Pittsburgh tomorrow. He will be part of this. And it'll bring together judges, court staff, behavioral health professionals, county officials, law enforcement, and other people working on the intersection of justice and behavioral health. What will be the yields from that? We'll dive into that coming up at the top of the hour. 866-391-1020. I think it's a very interesting topic coming up at 3. So too are student loan forgiveness. A big thing right now because it's a hot button topic. The Trump administration canceling student debt for millions of borrowers. And it's a nuanced conversation. Certainly is. But when people hear canceling student debt, a lot of times you don't need to advance that conversation much for people to have strong feelings. They already, when just hearing those words, they say, well, this is how I feel about it. It's a great thing for young people. Or, over my dead body, am I going to give you one dime of mine that I don't think you should have? Clark's in Murrysville. Hi, Clark.
Hi, Colin. My point is, maybe we all failed these kids by not informing them that they weren't going to be able to make enough money with that degree to pay back the money. So maybe we should forgive their tuition, but all the other money that they borrowed for incidentals, Starbucks, and everything else, they should still have to pay back.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair compromise. The other thing, though, Clark, that I think is part of the conversation is there had to be a decent amount of these kids, as you say, and I'd agree with you, who were getting guidance from home and or from financial counselors that failed them. So it wasn't just the general public. It was a parental pool and or from the universities that they attended in and of themselves.
And their high schools.
Correct. You know, yeah. They were sold a bill of goods, and they thought that the bill was never going to come. It was not going to come in perpetuity, and especially it wasn't going to come in totality. And now it's here, and so many people are saying, well, no, you pay it in full. I can give a compromise, but I like one like yours, Clark. How did you arrive at this decision?
Well, I think they didn't know whether they were ignorant or just dumb or uninformed. Doesn't matter. They just didn't know that they were doing the wrong thing when they borrowed the money to get a degree that doesn't produce enough salary.
Yeah, and you know, this is the part that's always going to be at odds, and it's going to be about a drop-off date. Well, I paid mine back in full. There's got to be a date to implement it if you're going to implement it. Somebody is going to be the first, and somebody's going to be the last, as with anything we do. It's just like when you legalize marijuana in a state. Well, I got a ticket for this. I got sent to jail even. I got arrested. Well, midnight on this day is when it becomes legal. If you had it at 11:59 the day before, it was illegal. Transition is many times with something like this, a hard day to hard time, and it's just how you have to do things. There's no way around that. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. I'm excited for the top of the hour now. 305. Supreme Court Justice Kevin Daugherty, Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency. Big summit tomorrow right here in Pittsburgh. Text here. How about all the people who paid off student loans get the money back they spent? Yeah, I don't know if that's the answer, but if you're going to forgive student loans, I can see where people would have an argument who said, hey, I paid mine fully back. I'm not asking for it all, but is there something I get from here? Again, gets back to that argument that there has to be a drop-off date. There has to be an implementation date. There has to be a time in which it goes through and it starts. An end time and a start time. I look at this, and the one thing I don't like is this. There will be people, and that last caller sort of alluded to it, that naivety and laziness will then be lumped in with people who made an honest effort. That's the part I don't like. Doug's in Moon. Hi, Doug.
How you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
God, I got an answer that's going to satisfy everybody. Everybody. You ready? If you took out a student loan and you can't pay it back, then you go into the military. You spend 4-6 years in the military, and the military will pay it back. They already have those programs.
That doesn't satisfy everyone.
That satisfies most of the people.
Not really.
If you're
there's a lot of people who wouldn't qualify for military service.
That's true. So for those people, here's what I say. You go back to the schools they graduated from, and you say, your graduate couldn't get a job, so you got to pay back half the loan, too. So you can split it between the two of them. If you get a degree and you can't get a job, some of that fault belongs with the institution.
Yeah, I would agree to that. And I would agree to that, that some of it does fall on the institution and that their degree isn't worth what they advertised it as. I have a solution, I think, that is maybe better than yours. Enough people don't push trade school or Votech or the trades or things like that, where you essentially will have no student loans and you'll get a job and start making money. Tom's in the North Hills. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Colin. Nice talking to you. First time caller, as a matter of fact. So,
well, thank you
for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
This issue has upset me so bad, and I'll tell you why. I just feel, and I'll give you an example that hits me from home, is my wife went to school, and she was my second wife. My wife went to school for dance. And here I am. I'm paying back this loan still at age 52. I'm paying off her dance degree. He has never done anything in dance whatsoever. I don't know why she chose this. Doesn't have a job that has anything to do with her, you know, what she ends up doing in life. My problem is, if you're going to school for nursing, a doctor, and I agree with you 1,000%, a trade school, anything that's really going to help us in society, then maybe we'll help those students out. But if you're just using it as a fun thing to go to, I'm going to go there, study dance. It's a good time. And then I got to pay for your kid to enjoy that experience. That, to me, it just doesn't feel right.
It doesn't. And thank you for the call. You're right about that. To go have fun, drink beer, hang out, and chase women for 4 years. I mean, that's not a bad deal, but you got to be trying to pursue a real education in that time frame. Talk a little bit more about this coming up. And maybe, just maybe, this all won't matter because a story just came down the wire about us all getting replaced. Wait till you hear this. That's After News right here. KDK. Here we go. What a day. You know, it turned out to be pretty nice out there. I enjoy it. I enjoy this kind of weather. We're talking about student loan forgiveness. Forgiveness! Even if... Anyway, I saw Andy Lindberg pop up. He knows that song. Anyhow, maybe nobody will care about student loans or jobs in just a little bit because of a Wire story I'm about to play in a few minutes. But we'll dive into that. I'll grab your calls, stay on the line. I first need to tell you, as always, you can listen to us 100.1 FM, AM 1020 KDK, or on that Odyssey app. They tell me to spell it out, AUDACY. That's the Odyssey app. You can also watch us online, KDK's video stream. It's all presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Just go to kdkradio.com, click on Watch KDK Radio's live stream, and now you can just go to our YouTube page, which is fantastic. Type KDK Radio on YouTube. Angelo is in North Hills. Hey, Angelo.
How's it going? Hey, enjoy the show when I get a chance to listen to it.
Same thing for me. So do I.
All right. Hey, solution for the student loan. So currently, I don't know if you realize this or not, employers can pay for employees $5,250 yearly towards their student loans. The employee does not pay tax on that $5,250. Okay.
Wait, run that past me again. $5,200, did you say?
Yeah, $5,250 an employer can pay towards the employee's student loans, and the employee does not pay tax on that amount of money.
Okay, now, is that is in lieu of salary or payment, right?
Right, that's so whatever your negotiated salary is, you could tell your employer, hey, could you put this much towards my student loans, and they could do that.
Okay, all right, well, that seems, and that's at 0%.
And that's not a loan. Yeah, the employer.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's matched one-to-one funds. It's one-to-one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So the employers, they write a check or they do a little bit monthly to your student loans.
Okay.
So a solution to me is, let's say somebody's making, I don't know, especially they're right out of school, so they're not used to making $100,000, right? You don't have all these things you have to pay for, maybe.
Sure.
So, instead of $5,200, let's make it $50,000. And so when the student comes out and they have $200,000 in debt, they say, you know what, I want to do $50,000 a year to my student loans. I can live off of $50,000. I've been living off of almost nothing for a long time. And then they have it paid off in 4 or 5 years.
That might make sense for if you come out and you get a job with a decent-sized company. Now, would you, like, let's say you get a job with a small business or somebody that's not a big company. Incrementally, I guess they could pay into it as much as they want, right? You're putting a cap on that at $50,000.
Right. Well, and what I'm saying is in lieu of your salary, they just pay it to your student loans. So like if you come out and they offer you a job for $75,000, you say, "Hey, why don't you put $30,000 of my student loans? You pay me $45,000. I can live off the $45,000 and I just watch the debt go away."
Yeah, you think kids will, I don't want to say kids, and I hate keep saying kids, but do you think that people just out of school will actually opt for that, or they'll want the cash in hand?
Well, heck yeah, no, they would do it, especially because it's tax free. So
they
you don't
won't,
have
they won't
tax
keep accruing
that,
so. It won't keep accruing debt unto them.
Right, and they would make a plan. It's done in 3 years, and we're good. So the thing is, they made this $5,250. I don't know if they call it, it's not really a deduction. It's just you don't get taxed on it because the employer is paying your loans. So how are you going to pay that off with that kind of money? Let's make it $50,000 a year and just really take care of the problem.
Yeah, not a bad deal. Now, I think we're working under the premise, though, using that entry-level salaries are pretty high. But I get it. I understand it. It's a sliding scale. Marianne's in Shaler. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne. Hi. This is Marianne. This really riles me up. I mean, I have a doctor, and my daughter has a couple master's and a couple bachelor's degrees. Son has a bachelor's degree. And guess what? Guess who paid for all that?
Marianne did.
Marianne and her husband did, yes.
What's his name?
And I have a problem. Well, that's never, I'm not telling you.
Okay.
Anyhow, I have a problem with students who go to school and they come out and they think that I should be paying their bills. I already paid bills. My kids didn't get student loans because we paid the bill. In fact, as far as I go, I worked. I went part-time, and I worked while I was raising a family. I was going to school. But we paid for my bills. And I'm not real happy about someone asking me out of my tax dollars to pay for their bills that they made irresponsible choices. And if they're working on a master's degree and they're asking me to pay, go to work.
There we go, Marianne. I don't disagree with you fully. I think more of the onus, or some of the onus, though, definitely falls on the schools in that they're advertising something and selling a bill of goods that's not worth what they truly say that it is. Now, it is up to the individual to investigate all of that. Now, all this said, this conversation that we've had now for 42 minutes to start the show, it might all not matter at all. You want to know why?
The New York Times is reporting that Amazon wants robots to eventually replace up to 600,000 human jobs by 2033, with robots making up 75% of the Seattle-based company's workforce. Amazon is reportedly planning to eliminate 160,000 positions by 2027, which would save the company more than $12 billion over the next 2 years. Amazon issued a statement saying that the leaked internal documents reflect the perspective of one team and don't reflect the company's overall hiring strategy.
Huh. Thank you for that report. That's Jason Brooks, CBS News business reporter. So that's the big catch-22. We want technological advancement. We want these robots. Heck, I want them. I want more of them. But I don't want them to come in and do a radio show. Because you know what that means? I'll be bagging groceries. I might not even be doing that. Because robots are going to do that. That's the big catch-22, and that's also part of this vortex. How much is automation going to replace us? Or how much are we going to complement automation? And there's going to maybe even be more jobs helping that field. I don't know, but this is a conversation I think that goes hand in hand with the student loans. And what it gets back to is this. We need to be more careful than ever, I think. This is just me. Figuring out what you want to do at like 18, 19 years old. And kids aren't wired that way anymore. But we need to be more careful than ever to do that. There's no time for dilly-dallying and screwing around. And when you're 28 years old, okay, now I've done what I want to do, and I need to really get into the field where I'm going to make some hay. I think we kind of got to make that decision much earlier than ever. Now that automation, robotics, AI, all that have entered the field, in that we need to use the human element in a sort of a smaller pigeonholed way than we ever have before. That's the scary proposition. That kids, and I keep saying kids, but it's true. They are ones who I don't think are locked in, much like other generations were, as to what they want to do, but they kind of need to be locked in more than ever and get into a streamlined plan. Your calls, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. I say student loan forgiveness. Your instant reaction is what? And also, I have found somebody, you're going to love this, I think, that I could not respect anymore. Wait till you hear this kid coming up next. Top of the hour. Can't wait to talk. There's a big conference in town tomorrow. Summit is going to bring together judges, court staff, behavioral health professionals, county officials, law enforcement. You know what they're going to do? The intersection of justice and behavioral health. How they're going to tackle this and really get a handle on this problem. I'll talk to Supreme Court Justice Kevin Daugherty coming up at the top of the hour. That's at 3:05. We'll hit news at the top of the hour. Colin Dunlap, KDK. Here we are, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Top of the hour, Supreme Court Justice Kevin Daugherty. And he's going to be part of the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency. They're going to hold a summit tomorrow in Pittsburgh. This is important to everybody, not just the people attending, but it's the intersection of criminal justice and behavioral health. And how can we bring together a lot of smart people, which we're going to do tomorrow, they are, and try to get this all under control? I think it's a lot of very fair questions and a lot of planning and implementation of how can we stop people who are mentally ill from continuing to cycle through the criminal justice system. That, to me, is something that's very important. Should be important to everybody. That's just walking around in the general public, that's for sure. Again, 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020 is the number. I saw a video, okay? And it was, switching gears totally, of a Jets fan. New York Jets, excuse me. They're 0-7, they stink. They've been outscored 183-129, which isn't all that crazy, but they haven't won yet. Bench their quarterback. New York, as we know, not a place where they take lightly to your team sucking. Just true. It's just how it is. Fans don't have a lot of patience in New York City and in that area. So Jets fans have been downtrodden for quite a while. They're mad. So anyway, the fans are leaving a game the other day. And there's a kid probably, I don't know, 14, 15 years old. And this is not staged at all. He's leaving with, looks like his dad, maybe his uncle, a couple other people. And he's walking out. And they stick a camera in his face. And here's what he said.
See if I can get your thoughts on the game.
I hate this team. I was born into this, and I'm not going to ever... I'm always a Jets fan, but like... I hate this team.
Man, do I have respect for that kid. I have so much respect for that young man. I gotta hear it again.
See if I can get your thoughts on the game.
I hate this team. I was born into this, and I'm not gonna ever... I'm always a Jets fan, but like... I hate this team.
I'm a Pirates fan. Anyway, so... You think about not being a bandwagoner and the importance of that. and sticking with your team thick and thin. And some of us in this city can relate to that. And how important it is to keep going to that well, thinking maybe it's going to change. It just for that one chance, that one opportunity, that one shot, that it will, even if it's just one time in your lifetime. But you would rather keep rooting for your team. You'd never even contemplate rooting for another team. That's bandwagoner stuff. That's nonsense. That's being a traitor. But the frustration that mounts with all of the losses, 0-7, the near misses, the blowouts, all of it.
I'm not going to ever, I'm always a Jets fan, but like, I hate this team.
The disdain in his voice for his own team. But man, I give that kid credit. He already has it figured out. And again, he was probably 14, 15 years old. That's a true sports fan. Easy to be a front runner. That's a true sports fan right there. Supreme Court Justice Kevin Daugherty, he joins coming up next. Big symposium in Pittsburgh tomorrow. We talk to him about all of that after news. KDK.